You have your Bibles, let's turn together to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark and chapter 5. As you read through the Bible, you find that it is filled with what might be called, humanly speaking, many impossible and hopeless cases. In other words, you find situations and you find circumstances that appear that for which there is no answer. In other words, it is circumstances, situations that actually appear to be impossibilities. There are storms, there are needs, there are sicknesses, there are deaths, and many other situations for which there seems to be no solution. And yet each one is handled with ease by the power of our omnipotent and our sovereign God. The text that we want to notice together this morning here in Mark chapter 5, I want you to notice that it is a situation that is most difficult. It's filled with several impossible situations. There's a storm, then there's a man filled with demons, and then there's a dead little girl. In each of these situations, the Lord Jesus steps in and proves that He is more than capable of handling whatever happens. As one writer has well noted, one truth that demonstrates itself over and over in the pages of the Bible is the truth that God is more than adequate for every situation. In other words, there are no impossible situations. There are no hopeless predicaments with our Heavenly Father. And so no matter what you might be facing right now, let me encourage you by saying that your situation, your storm, your sin, your sickness, it's not a hopeless case. It's not a hopeless case. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a new series of studies together, and it's a series that we're going to call Hard Cases Solved. And we're going to see that encouraging truth proven over and over again. In fact, in our text, we will begin with what appears to have been a most hopeless situation, in the case of what we might call a ruined woman. The case of a ruined woman. The Lord Jesus was on His way, as you read through the text, He was on His way to deal with the daughter of a man by the name of Jairus. But along the way, he was stopped. He was interrupted when he encountered a woman with a serious need. It may be that you need a change in the situations that you are facing today. And it can happen. As we're going to see from this text, just one touch from the Lord can totally change everything in ways that you will find are far better than you ever imagined. So let's consider together this poor woman and her situation. And I want you to notice with me, number one, let's notice her suffering. Notice her suffering. As we consider the suffering of this woman, I want you to notice letter A as you follow along in your notes. I want you to notice her affliction. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it is stated for us very simply. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. She had an issue of blood. This issue was actually a continual flowing of blood. To be as delicate as possible, this was basically a menstrual flow that would not stop. It continued on and on and on, and whatever it was that was causing this constant hemorrhaging, she was a very sick woman. She was a very sick woman. And so we see not only do we see her affliction, but I want you to notice letter B. I want you to notice her anguish. Her anguish. And as we consider the anguish that this woman was experiencing because of the physical condition that she had, I want you to notice, first of all, there was her physical anguish. Her physical anguish. The Bible tells us in verse number 25 of Mark chapter 5 that this woman had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years from the constant blood loss. This poor woman would have naturally been weak. She would have been anemic. Her condition was constantly beating her down day by day, a terrible physical condition that she was enduring. But not only was there her physical anguish, There was also her medical anguish. In verse number 26 again, the Bible says that she suffered many things of many physicians. She suffered many things from many different physicians. You know how it is when you're sick. You go to one doctor, and if he can't help you, then you go to another doctor. And if he can't help, then you go to another doctor, and you try and try and try to find someone who will have an answer for your condition. In the Jewish Talmud, there are recorded 11 different remedies that would have been prescribed for a condition like the one that this woman was suffering with. 11 different remedies. And some were simply potions that could be taken. Most of them, however, were silly, superstitious nonsense. But she had suffered through all of them, going from hope to hope to hope, trying to find an answer, the medical anguish. But then we also have to consider, in a woman's case like this, there was also, number three, her social anguish. Her social anguish. You see, she was probably not married, because through physical contact, she would have been a constant source of defilement to her husband. You find that in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 to verse 20, and then again in verse 25 to verse 27. And so therefore, even if she had been married, her husband would have probably divorced her because of the medical condition that she had and the constant uncleanness that she would pass to him. She also could not work around others for the very same reason. The bottom line is, this woman's condition left her on the fringes of society. They left her on the fringes of society. In the eyes of those who were around her, she was basically like the leper. She caused uncleanness to be spread to anyone who came in contact with her. And so therefore, as one writer has well noted, this woman was lonely, she was isolated, and she was desperate. And that would have naturally then led to a fourth consideration, and that is her religious anguish. You see, because of her perpetual condition of uncleanness, she would have been an outcast from the temple, which means that she would not have been able to go to the temple to worship God, to learn of God. And so she was a religious outcast. And then also, number five, there was her financial anguish. Her financial anguish. In verse number 26, again, the Bible tells us she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. The doctors that she visited, with all of their remedies and all of their advice, they had not helped her at all. In fact, the only thing the doctors had accomplished was they had enriched themselves and they had bankrupted her. That was the only thing that had been accomplished. And so there was the financial anguish. And then I want you to notice a third thing that we find here, and that would be letter C, her agony. Her agony. Again, in verse number 26, she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She grew worse. After years of pain, after years of worthless doctors, after years of useless remedies, after years of shattered hope and shattered dreams, she's reached a place where she has come to fully understand that she is basically living under a sentence of death, as her lifeblood is literally draining away little by little by little. There was her suffering. But then I want you to notice number two. I want you to notice her scheming. Her scheming. And as we consider the scheming of this woman, notice first of all the reason for it. The reason for it. And the reason for it was simply stated for us in verse 27. She had heard of Jesus. She had heard of Jesus. In other words, she heard about the man who had been healed from his palsy in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to verse number 12. She had heard about the man who had been healed from his withered hand in Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 6. And she had heard about the multitudes with all different kinds of diseases and different kinds of problems. Multitudes had been healed and multitudes had been delivered from demonic oppression. Mark chapter 3, verse 9 to verse number 11. And because of all of these testimonies that this woman had heard, and because of all of the things that she had heard about the one who had caused those great works to be accomplished, she came to believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for others, He could certainly do for her. He could certainly do the same for her. And so therefore we see not only the reason for her scheming, but notice letter B, the resolve in it. The resolve. In verse number 28, here's the resolve. She said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." And so this woman then was totally resolved. She was totally resolved. She was totally willing to, first of all, to fight the crowd. You remember the Bible says in Mark 5:24 that much people followed Him and they thronged Him. They thronged Him. And she was willing to go against all of that in order to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was she willing to fight the crowd, she was willing to risk the danger. To risk the danger. I mean, after all, if this woman was recognized, she would have been in danger of being beaten. She may have been even in danger of being stoned, because everyone that she touched would have been made unclean. And they would have resented that. And had they recognized her, she would have been in great danger. But she was willing to risk the danger. And she was also willing to ignore the challenge. To ignore the challenge. Because of her disease, it would have taken basically all the energy that she had to drag herself out of bed. It would have taken all the energy that she had to struggle through the crowd in order that she might get to where the Lord Jesus was. And so there was her suffering. There was her scheming. But then I want you to notice, thirdly, there was her saving. There was her saving. In a parallel passage, we're told in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 20 concerning this woman, how that she came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment. You can almost picture in your mind how that this woman comes fighting her way through the crowd, pushing between people and easing ever closer and closer until finally she comes up behind the Lord Jesus. She reaches out and she touches Him. And when she touched the hem of His garment, we find in our text that there was a threefold result. A threefold result. I want you to notice a couple of things with me about the result of it. First of all, I want you to notice that it was powerful. It was powerful. When she was finally able to make her way near enough to the Lord Jesus, she reached out with a trembling hand and touched the hem of His garment. And the Bible says in verse number 29, and straightway, that simply means immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. In the very instant, she received what none of the doctors had been able to do. In the very instant that she touched the Lord Jesus, it was accomplished in her body what none of the remedies had been able to give to her. She was healed, and she knew it. She could feel it, that it was now completely taken care of. And so we see that it was a powerful thing. Not only that, I want you to notice, it was personal. It was personal. In verse number 30, the Bible says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched My clothes? Who touched My clothes?" As soon as this woman touched Him, the Lord Jesus knew what had happened. Because with her touch, virtue had gone out of Him. Power had gone out of Him. I want you to understand that because of the crowd that thronged Him, there were many people who touched Him. Because of the crowd that was pressing against him, there were many people who came in contact with him, and yet nothing had happened. Mark chapter 5, verse 31. And yet this woman had touched him with the fingers of faith. And that made all the difference. As one writer has well noted, the business of the universe was put on hold. This woman cast out, uncared for, and unwanted, had caught the eye of God because she exercised simple, childlike faith. It was a personal thing. It was a personal thing. I want you to notice also, let her see, it was profound. It was profound. You see, the Lord Jesus could have left it at simply a physical healing. He could have left it as simply a physical healing. But he desired more for this woman than a mere physical healing. He desired more for this woman than that. And so therefore the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 32 and verse number 33, it says that he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. She fell down before him, I'm certain, with fear. Because this is exactly what she was afraid might happen. She would be put on center stage. Everyone's attention would be pointed to her. She was afraid that this would happen, that she would be publicly pointed out to the crowd, and that she would probably be soundly rebuked for defiling the Lord Jesus, for defiling this teacher, this rabbi in Judaism. But I want you to notice the order that we find here. Her fears were unwarranted, first of all. Her fears were unwarranted because the Lord Jesus was not interested in humiliating this woman. He was not interested in driving her away from his presence. He was mainly interested, not so much in her physical condition, but in her spiritual condition. You see, he wanted to make her well spiritually. He wanted to save her eternal soul. And by the way, that's his desire for all men. His desire for all men is that they might not just be physically well, but that their spiritual relationship with God might be what it ought to be. And so notice the order that we find here. First of all, there was her confession. In verse number 33, the Bible says that when this woman came before the Lord, she told him all the truth. She told him all the truth. In other words, she didn't try to play games with God. She didn't try to make things sound better than they really were. She was very honest in her communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. She told him everything. She told him everything. And then I want you to notice not only her confession, but there was also her result. Her result. In verse number 34, the Bible says, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want you to notice here that there was a couple of things. First of all, there was the spiritual result. It's interesting, as you go through the Bible, you will discover that this is the only time that the Lord Jesus ever referred to a female by the name daughter. It's the only time he ever refers to a female by that name, and it signifies something very important. It signifies the fact that there was a change in relationship. There was a change in the different relationship that was now hers. Her faith had made her whole. And the Greek word that is translated whole in this text, it's the same Greek word that we find in other places that is translated saved. This woman had been saved by the grace of God. One moment she had been an outcast, and the next moment she was in the family of God. And it was because of that new relationship that the Lord Jesus said to her, go in peace. Go in peace. There was the spiritual result. There was also the physical result. She was made whole. Again, saved. She was made whole from the terrible disease that had tormented her for so many years. I want you to understand that just like this woman, everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus receives far more than they ever bargained for. When we come to the Lord Jesus honestly and we just commit ourselves totally to Him, we receive far more than we could ever imagine. Because you see, when we come by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus and receiving that great salvation that He so graciously offers, then He will do for us exactly what He has done for countless others and what He has promised, that He will do. Now, because of our faith in Him, we are no longer God's enemies. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because of our faith and trust in Him, we are now fully and forever forgiven of every sin and every stain. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. When we come to Him and we are saved by His amazing grace, we are now reconciled with God. That simply means now we are at peace with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 19. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are made to become a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we're totally changed. We're made to be a new creature. We're given a brand new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are set free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are given the wonderful assurance that we have a home, an eternal inheritance reserved for us in heaven. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are made to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. When you stop and think about it, it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when we receive the gift of God's salvation. Not just a salvation from our physical infirmities, but more importantly, we receive a physical salvation, a spiritual salvation rather, from the consequences of our sin. This woman experienced healing, not because she touched His garment, but because she exercised faith in the Lord Jesus and His mighty power. And when her faith touched His power, His power totally changed her life. Think about it. In that crowd, there were dozens of people who had physical needs. There were probably dozens of people who had emotional needs. Certainly, there were many, many, many of them who had spiritual needs. But there was only one who received help. There was only one who had her need met. Only one. And dozens had touched Him, but only one had been transformed. And the reason is simply because only one had looked at the Lord Jesus through the eyes of faith. Only one had believed that the Lord Jesus could do for her what nobody else could do. And only one did whatever it would take to get to Him and to reach out and touch Him. And therefore, out of all of that crowd of people, only that one was made whole. My question for you this morning would simply be, do you need to get to Jesus today? Do you need to get to Him? Whether you're lost in your sin or whether you are battling with difficulties in your life as a child of God, if you have reached the point where that you realize all other remedies have failed you, All other remedies have failed to provide the answer that you need. All other means have exhausted themselves. Then I want to invite you this morning to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to Him. Don't be one of those people who simply brush against the Lord Jesus, but then they leave unchanged, unmoved. Don't be like that. But by faith, reach out to Him. Tell Him all the truth about your need, what is going on in your heart, whether it's a need for salvation or a need for victory over some sin in your life as a child of God. Tell Him all of the truth. He knows. You may as well tell Him. And confess to Him. Tell Him all of the need that you have. And He will respond. He will respond to you just as He responded to this ruined woman. He will respond to you just as He did to this woman, who in the eyes of the world was basically a ruined, hopeless case. God can do for you what He's done for so many others. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope today that you would consider confessing your sin, acknowledging to God that you have broken His laws, you have offended His holiness, and that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and that you will call upon Him to be your Savior, believing the wonderful promise that He has given, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." If you're listening this morning as a Christian, maybe there's some spiritual battles that are going on in your life and you failed to find the victory that you need, I want you to know that there is victory. If you'll just come to the Lord, tell Him all the truth about it, and allow His power to be working in your life to give to you that which you need. May God's will be done in each heart and in each life today as we consider these things together.